Today on Brave with Pastor Jeff Schwarzentraub.
When you're all engaged with God and you're dedicated to the truth and you're dependent upon prayer and you desire holiness in your life, His holiness, and you demonstrate generosity, the next step becomes really clear, because here's what you'll say. God, I don't really care. Whatever you want from me, you have. You can send me wherever you want. You can use me however you want. You can take whatever resources I have, and they're all yours for your kingdom. That's what it looks like.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Do you want to live a life that really makes a difference, that leaves a lasting impact for the glory of God's kingdom? Well, today on Brave, Pastor Jeff shows that in order to be this kind of kingdom ambassador, there are a few fundamental steps we need to take. As Pastor Jeff says, the local church is the hope of the world. And it's time for believers of every corner of the world to step out, step up, and move into the kingdom work God has prepared for them, right where they are. So if you're ready to get started with the kingdom work God has waiting for you, then today's message is just the sort of spiritual ammunition you need. It's part of our brand new series called The Kingdom Embassy. So without further delay, let's dive into part two of Pastor Jeff's message, Getting Started.
If you have your Bibles, I'm going to encourage you to open up to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. And in this book of Hebrews, really what the author is writing to is a group of Jewish converts. And these group of Jewish converts found it much easier when they were just religious than they were finding it when they were Christian. And so what they were doing is they were turning back. And so the author of Hebrews is writing, and he's got one main message for these people, that this is the message, that Christ is superior to all things. He's superior to angels. He's superior to Moses. He's the superior sacrifice. He's superior to all things. Therefore, don't turn back. Keep going. And when we get to chapter 11, we see what was sometimes called the Great Hall of Faith. And we see people that remain faithful to the end. But I want to highlight on two main verses today just to talk to us about what it looks like for us individually and as a church to take the next step. I want you to hear this today. What does it look like for you? What is God prompting in your heart? What's the next step for you? What is God prompting in our heart? What's the next step for us? And here's the truth. Nobody can tell you what the next step is for you, and nobody can tell you what the next step is for our church. We have to take a walk step by step and continue to listen to the Lord. But let me read these two verses. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder for those who seek him. So here's what he says. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It's the conviction of things not seen. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we better have a good idea of what faith looks like, what it means for us to take that next step. I mean, faith is such an important component to the Christian life. Now, what is faith? Most people say it's blind faith. It's just you got to kind of believe. It's all you're holding on to. No, I believe faith has substance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of what we do not see. And so as we talk about faith, I just want to tell you as a church, I want to give you four things that we must grow in today. And at the end of the message, I want to highlight some things that God is doing that we can begin to pray about and seek his face on so that we're ready for all that God is going to do. Because I still believe that the local church is the hope of the world. I believe that when we gather, this is where God meets us. I believe that the way God's going to reach our city by advancing the kingdom is through the church. I don't believe we're the only church. I am for every faithful church that's proclaiming the word of God that wants to get the kingdom out. I'm for them all, not only here in Denver, but everywhere else. We happen to be one of them. This is where we planted our flag. This is who we are. And God wants to do unique, special things through us on this side of eternity. And as a church, I want to give you four things that we want to continue to grow in. These are four ways that you can grow in your faith. These are things I love about Brave Church. These may be things that you're already doing, but even if you are, like we talked about at the beginning, there are ways that you can grow in them even more. And the first is this. As a church, we must grow in our dedication to the truth. We must grow in our dedication to the truth. Now, I love this church because this church is dedicated to the truth. I mean, last year when I got to teach through Genesis 1 to 11 and the book of Revelation, you would have to be dedicated to the truth or you wouldn't come here anymore. I mean, you couldn't even get through Genesis chapter 1, right? I mean, if you can't even get through Genesis chapter 1 in most churches where we talked about one race and two genders in 6 days, I mean, most churches won't even talk about those things. And yet it's in the very first chapter of the Bible. But we want to grow in our dedication to the truth, not just being a group of people that say, yeah, we believe that. Yeah, we believe that. Yeah, I think I believe that, but it's really not that big of a deal. But that we walk in the truth. That the convictions about the truth that we share and what we're hearing are actually the things that we're going to put into practice. It's so important for us. And why is this so important? Because we're living in a culture where religious liberties are being threatened, where churches are backing away, where churches are retreating. Brave Church has not retreated. Brave Church has stood firm and is continuing to advance the gospel, and we will continue to do so. And the only reason for that is because of our dedication to the truth. You say, well, what is truth? That's what Pilate asked. What is truth? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The word of God is true, all of it. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. It's all true, every bit of it. And we must, as a church, grow in our dedication to it. What does that mean for you? It means this. How's your time growing in the word of God? What's it look like for you? How much time do you spend seeking the face of the Lord so that you would know the word? How many scriptures have you memorized this year? What's a new thing God's shown you in his word that's changed the way you think about him? What's your dedication to the truth? Because the more you are dedicated to the truth, the more you'll live the life that God requires. I was just reading in my Bible study earlier this week about Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, how the Spirit led him there. And when Satan comes after him, what does Jesus beat him with? The truth, the word of God. Satan even tries to deceive him by twisting the word of God, and Jesus corrects him. The more you know and are dedicated to the truth, the more you will be aligned with what God has for your life. Brave Church, we want to continue to grow in the truth. We're going to continue to grow in our dedication to the truth. Second is this, as a church, we must grow in our dependence upon prayer. We must grow in our dependence upon prayer. Now, this is another reason I love Brave Church. Brave Church is committed to prayer. If there's anything I could get you to commit to, it would be prayer. Because I know that if you can get in front of our Father's throne and in front of his face and seek him, everything else in your world will change. I mean, from the very beginning of this church, we had prayer meetings. We did them at least once a month. Sometimes they were on Wednesdays. Sometimes they were on Sundays. Sometimes they were on Saturdays. They're always a different time. As a matter of fact, Kyle Bryant, our worship leader in Broomfield, sent me a video this week of a 2014 prayer meeting that we had. It was before we even started First Tuesday. And I remember that prayer meeting the more I looked at it. There's probably about 40 people in this section and about 30 people in this section, three over there and nobody over here. And I walked up to the front and told people what we're going to pray about. My brother was playing the guitar and I'm looking at it and I'm like, that looks nothing like what we do now. I mean, I'd be thoroughly disappointed if that's what our prayer meetings look like now. But I remember at the time calling people on the phone. We had over 100 people at our prayer meeting. It was awesome. God's moving. God's doing things. Now it's not uncommon for us to have several hundred people here at our prayer meeting, seeking the face of God, worshiping him. This last Tuesday, if you weren't here, I'm just telling you, you missed a move of the Lord. There were people delivered. There were people healed. There were people set free. It's awesome. We will not stop praying as a church. We will only dedicate ourselves more to prayer. Why? Because it was what Jesus did. Mark 1:35 says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went to solitary places where there he prayed. Sometimes when his disciples were looking for him, you know, they couldn't find him. Like, what were you doing? He was praying. When he was 12 years old and his parents couldn't find him, when they left Jerusalem to go back to Galilee and had to go back into Jerusalem, they found him in the temple. He's like, did you not know I had to be in my Father's house? What do we see him doing on the night he's betrayed? Praying. What do we see him doing on the cross? Praying. What is the one thing the disciples asked Jesus to teach him how to do? Pray. Do you think it's important? Then why don't most churches pray? Why is prayer an afterthought? Prayer should be the foundational part of your individual life and our church's life. If nothing else goes on in the church, prayer should be going on in the church all the time. The problems that we have now in our church with too much growth and not enough space and all the different things, that's a result of prayer. And I love that about our church. If you haven't been coming to First Tuesday prayer meetings, I invite you, I plead with you, I beg you, come. Because you really don't know what's actually taking place at Brave Church until you're a part of our prayer meeting. And why is it so important? Because I think as a pastor, I can give you vision. I can stand here and say, here's what I think. To which you should respond, okay, that's what you think. Who cares? We're not a church that says, here's what Jeff thinks. We're a church much like the difference between being a motorboat or a sailboat. We're a sailboat. We're not a motorboat. We're not running in our play and telling God to bless it. We're a sailboat and we're extending a mast and putting up a big sail and saying, God, you blow your wind in this. You take us wherever you want to take us and we'll go wherever you want to go and you do whatever you want to do. That can only come through a church that seeks the face of the Lord in prayer. How are you devoted to prayer? I mean, again, rhetorical question. How long did you pray this morning before you left the house? I mean, what was your prayer life like yesterday? How many hours did you spend in prayer this week? How many minutes did you spend in prayer this week? Did you even pray this week? I mean, these are the kind of questions that we need to ask if we're really going to be the kind of church that God is going to bless, and we're really going to be the kind of church that takes steps of faith and believe that we can go everywhere God wants us to go. Not only do we have to be dedicated to the word, we have to be dependent upon prayer. We have to be. And it's not a have to. I would just encourage you, if you've never prayed before, why not do this? Why not, instead of setting some big goal, hey, tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up and pray for a half an hour. Let me just assure you, if you've never prayed before, you won't. Unless some crisis hits your life, then maybe you will. Just give God 2 minutes. You say, 2 minutes? That's nothing. Maybe it's 2 minutes more than you prayed today. Seek him. Seek him. And don't make it about the time. Make it about the relationship. Make it about his face. Men, when you take your wives out on dates, you don't set a time. I'll give you 45 minutes at a dinner, 15 minutes afterward, then I'm on my own. It doesn't work. It's not a relationship, right? You set time aside for the relationship. If you really love God, you'll want to spend time with him, and not only telling him what's on your heart, but you'll want to listen to what he has to say too. As a church, we must grow in our dedication to truth. We must grow in our dependence upon prayer. Number three, and I think this is huge for us this year as a church, if we're going to take steps of faith, we need to grow in our desire for holiness. Our desire for holiness. That's a desire to please God. That's a desire to be different. You know, it says in the Psalms, in Psalm chapter 24, verses 3 and 4, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord and who may stand in his holy place? Here's the answer. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. That's why David, after he sinned, prayed this in Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. See, growing in holiness is about consecration. It's about setting yourself apart unto God. It's about taking off the things in your former life, and it's about putting on Christ and walking in the newness of him. It's about, you used to live apart from the Spirit of God that now indwells you, but now because the Spirit of God indwells you, and because you are redeemed, and because you are holy, and because you are forgiven, and because you are loved, you're living in a new way. And many Christians miss this point. Many Christians think holiness is for those radical Christians out there. No, holiness is for every single Christian, which means your life should not continue to look the same. It means every day, month, week, year, you are growing in looking more and more and being conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's how you know that you're growing in your faith. People that used to hang out with you will see a difference. See, here's a question for you. I'm hearing music. Here's a question for you. Think about when it was that you got saved. Think about when it was you got saved. Okay? Got that in your head? If you've never been saved, I got good news for you. Jesus Christ died for you, rose for your sins, so that if you repent and trust Christ, you can have today be your day. But think about when you came to Christ. Now, since the time you came to Christ, how many people in your sphere of influence have come to know Christ? Rhetorical. How many? Because God would expect several of them to. Or you say, well, none of them. How many of the none have left their relationship with you because they don't want to be around you anymore because you're too holy? And if you say, well, nobody's come to Christ and nobody's left me, perhaps, just perhaps the reason is because you're not willing to walk with God and change and become who God wants you to be. When I got saved, I started leading people to Christ right away. That's one of the gifts God gave me, was evangelism. That's what I started doing. And there were people here and there that got saved. When I gave my life fully to Christ and surrendered in such a way that I'm like, God, I'll walk in holiness. I'll do what you want. I'll go where you want to go. Scores of people started coming to Christ. Friends that were my friends, now they're like, now you're getting too serious about this. We don't want to hang out with you anymore. I remember what those feelings felt like, right? When has that happened for you? If you're living the same as you were before you got saved with all the non-believing friends you are, and they can hang out with you and they're fine with who you are, it means that you're not growing in the fullness of all that God wants for you. Friends, for us to grow as a church, for us to take steps of faith as Brave, we need to desire holiness. Holiness is not perfection. Holiness is a pursuit of Christ's perfection in us. It's the desire to allow God to work out of us what God has already worked in us through his Holy Spirit. It is not a commitment. God, I'm going to be better. It is not a commitment. God, I'm going to do good. It's not a promise. Look what I'm going to do for you. No, it's God, I'm giving up what I used to be, and I'm walking out my new identity in Christ. I'm exchanging my old life for the new life I have in Christ, and everything you have for me, I want to come out. It's a desire for holiness. By the way, only God can give you that desire. Only God can give you that desire. If I tried to give you that desire, it would be legalism. I can't tell you what holiness looks like for your life. I can't tell you what God's telling you to put off, but I promise you, if you're a Christian, there are things God's telling you. That's what you used to do. That's who you used to be. Those are the behaviors you used to engage in. Put them away. Put this on. This is who I want you to be now. That's what it looks like to grow in holiness. And only the Spirit of God can show you. Now, you know what it is because it's that one area that you're stubborn about. They're like, I'm not doing that. That's probably the area that God's saying, do that, right? There has to be a desire for holiness. When we're dedicated to the truth, when we're dependent upon prayer, when we desire the holiness of God, I'm going to give you one more step. This is a step for all of us individually and collectively at Brave Church. It's a demonstration of generosity. If we're going to take steps of faith, we must give a demonstration of generosity. Generosity is being lavish in your love towards others. It's being generous and being a steward of everything you have for the sake of the kingdom. That's what generosity is. It's the opposite of being calculated. It's the opposite of being calculated. Whether we're talking about time, love, money, hospitality, whatever we're talking about, compassion, it is lavishly giving those things. You say, well, why do we want to do that? Because that's the heart of the entire gospel. Hear the word of the Lord in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Jesus emptied himself of everything so that you could have all that he gave. He didn't hold back. He didn't say, I'll give you some. He came and gave his very life. The entire gospel is of Christ humbling himself and emptying himself for us so that we could be the fullness of Christ. Your next step of faith is going to require that. You say, well, what's generosity look like? Now, think about the story. It's written in several of the gospels, but in Matthew chapter 26, we see the story played out about a woman who comes into Jesus and she's weeping at his feet. And she takes this alabaster jar of perfume, it's probably worth about a year's wage, and she opens it and she begins to pour it all over Jesus' feet. And guess the two people that speak. One, a religious leader, a Pharisee. You know what he says? If this Jesus was a prophet, he'd know the kind of woman this was. In other words, he was saying, she's no good. What is she doing around him, let alone being lavish to him? Religious people hate generosity. And who was the other person that spoke? Judas Iscariot. You know what he said? What a waste. Judas, this could have been sold and given to the poor. See, when you're generous, you're lavish. You're not calculated. You're just doing it because you want to do it. One of the reasons that you don't grow in your faith is you're not generous enough. There can be an area of your life that you refuse to be generous. Perhaps it's your time. Like, yeah, those other people can serve at the church. I don't have time for that. Perhaps it's your love. You know, my kids know, my wife knows, they know I already love them. I don't need to demonstrate it. I already demonstrated it before, right? It could be your money. I'm not one of the rich people that go to the church. I don't really have much to give. Who really cares? Can I tell you something about money? One of the greatest stories in the entire New Testament was a poor widow that gave two small copper coins worth less than a penny. It's not how much you give, it's that you give of yourself. See, when you're generous and you're lavish, you can experience the grace of God. And these four areas that I'm talking about keep people from taking steps of faith. They love the truth of the gospel, but they don't want all the truth of the Bible. They love the fact that Jesus listens to them, but they don't want to spend any time with them because if Jesus directed their path in a way they didn't want to go, they wouldn't want that. There's a desire to look different, but I don't want to look that different. I don't want to be one of those weird, freaky people that people talk about because I love Jesus. And there's people like, I'm generous. I'm more generous than they are, or she is, or he is, but don't expect me to go all in on that. All of those things where we begin to be calculated keep us from taking the next step of faith. When you're all engaged with God and you're dedicated to the truth and you're dependent upon prayer and you desire holiness in your life, his holiness, and you demonstrate generosity, the next step becomes really clear, because here's what you'll say. God, I don't really care. Whatever you want from me, you have. You gave your entire life for me. I wouldn't even be who I am without you. You can send me wherever you want. You can use me however you want. You can take whatever resources I have, and they're all yours for your kingdom. That's what it looks like. I mean, it's a difference in that story that you've heard between the pig and the chicken that wanted to give the farmer a breakfast one day. The chicken said, hey, let's give the farmer a ham and egg breakfast. The pig said, that's easy for you to say. You just need to make a deposit for me. That's a full commitment. You know what the moral of the story is? Don't be a chicken when it comes to your faith. Right? Jesus gave his whole life for you. He gave his whole life for you. What are you holding back? I know for me, when I was 24, that was the turning point for me, where I was saying, Lord, whatever you want, doesn't matter. I'm done fighting you. It doesn't matter. You got my whole life, however you would lead me. And the Lord's guided my steps. He's had certain things that have stayed the same, certain venues that have changed. But as I've taken steps in them, it's been an exhilarating ride. Friends, there is a return of investment on walking with Christ. There's an exhilarating life on walking with Christ. And I'm ashamed to say too many Christians never experience it because they're too doggone calculated about everything. I'm already saved, and this is my house, and this is my family, and what's the church going to do for me, and how can the church help me, and what can I get out of this whole thing? Friends, if you live that way, you will rot on the inside. It becomes, Christ, you died for me, and you rose for me, and you poured your life into me, and even if I gave you everything I have, that would be far too little for what you've given to me, so take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Lord, you're the cornerstone of my life. You have it all. Anything that I have, do, say, speak, it's for your name. I'm willing to do whatever you want. And I know what you're thinking, because I used to have this thought from the time I was 5 years old when I went to a Lutheran grade school and we'd have missionaries come in from New Guinea that would explain what it was like to be on the mission field. And it was back in the days where they had those overhead projectors, you know? They put up slides. It would show pictures of them eating iguana. And even as a five-year-old, I knew, don't get too close to Jesus. If you do, you're going to be eating iguana in New Guinea. Right? I mean, tell me I'm not telling the truth. Some of you are afraid that if you give your whole life completely over to God, like I'm saved, that's enough. But if I give my complete life over to God, it's going to be miserable. Let me tell you, the opposite is true. God designed you. He created you. He knows just what fulfills you. If you will walk in his way, you will experience Christ in measures you've never had before. Amen? Be dedicated to the truth. Amen. Be devoted to prayer, desire holiness, and demonstrate generosity. And I'm telling you, if you pray that and say, Lord, is there any area in my life where I'm not doing that? I promise you, through his Holy Spirit, he'll show you. Will you be obedient where he shows you?
You're listening to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub. And today we're continuing our brand new series, The Kingdom Embassy. If you need to catch up on the first part of today's message, Getting Started, visit our website, bravemedia.online. You can also connect with us on social media. We're on most major platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Search for Brave Church Denver. Then be sure to like and follow our pages to stay up to date on ministry announcements and community events. Another great way to stay connected is by downloading the Brave Church app onto your smartphone or mobile device. With the app, you'll have complete access to all our faith-building tools and fellowship opportunities here at Brave Church, wherever you are. Consider joining a small group Bible study, sharing prayer requests, and signing up for service events right from your phone. Just go to the App Store, search for Brave Church Denver, and download the app today. And if you're looking to take an even bigger step towards community, we invite you to become part of our weekend services here at Brave Church. If you live near the Denver metro area, join us in person at our Englewood campus, or visit the new venue for our Broomfield folks, now open in Westminster. And no matter where you're listening from, you can always join us right from home by hopping online for our weekend live stream. Visit bravemedia.online, scroll down and click on the Brave Church link at the bottom of the page for all the details and directions. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments you'd like to share with Pastor Jeff, send us an email. hello@bravechurch.co. I'm your host, Bill Carl, inviting you back tomorrow for the next part of Pastor Jeff's new series, The Kingdom Embassy. We're discovering who and what we can trust as we go out into the world on mission for the gospel tomorrow, right here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.